seminar. As we get into the first official session, the one that's called session one and that you're outlined, I recall a story that I heard many years ago. A story of a farmer or a rancher that set out to hire help. Enterprise, his farm was much larger than he could handle on his own, and so he knew he had to have help. He also knew he had to have help that was dependable. And so he had put out an advertisement and began to interview people to come be his hired hand. And he had it kind of narrowed down, and he had one guy that he really liked. All of his qualifications seemed to fit. All of his experience seemed to match up with what he needed. And so he called this man in to talk with him. And he says, "Can you tell me, what would you say is your greatest qualification to come and be my hired hand?" And the man simply looks at him and says, "Well, I suppose it's the fact that I can sleep through any storm." And the farmer is thinking, "Well, that is really strange. How does that help anything?" And yet he was really enamored with all of the guy's experience, with everything that had been reported about him, so he went ahead and hired him. And one night, not too long later, a fierce storm rose up. The farmer, the owner of the ranch, was terrified. He was concerned about his horses, about his livestock, about his property, about everything that he was about to lose. And he went out to the barn expecting to see the hired hand there scurrying about, making things ready. And he was nowhere to be found. Then he remembered, "This is the man who said he could sleep through any storm. I bet he's asleep." And so he went to the dwelling that the man lived in, and sure enough, he was fast asleep. And the owner shakes him awake and says, "What are you doing? There's a storm that's hitting us. We're going to lose everything." To which the man kind of sits up in bed a little bit and says, "What are you talking about? I've prepared for the storm. Everything's safe. I can sleep knowing my work was done." And when I think about prepared for the storm, about the urgency of prayer, that's what I think about. Many times we think of urgency as being the farmer. The guy that heard the storm and felt he had to do something right now. That something had to be done or we would lose everything. And there's times where we're called to that sense of urgency. But I believe we're better prepared when we begin to see the urgency of prayer as the preparation process. That we're prepared for the storm, that we're ready for whatever comes. You see, it's when we plan for the storm, we recognize that it will not and does not have to take us by surprise. And that's why I believe that the greatest urgency of prayer is to build a lifestyle of prayer that you're prepared no matter what comes. And yes, there are those times that you'll get that call from a friend, from a loved one, from a relative that is experiencing something right now that you ought to stop and pray for. But when we consider the vast array of storms, I believe that being prepared means that I'm doing what God says. I'm praying continually. I'm seeking Him in all things. I'm recognizing that He's in charge. John 16:33, I've already referred to it. Jesus says that, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." When I think about planning for the storm, I think about that final phrase, "Take heart, I have overcome the world." You see, the very foundation of planning for the storm is to pray. As we consider, when the storms of life come, what will you do to get ready? I believe you pray. You talk to God. You develop that life that looks to God for everything. When Jesus was in the garden, knowing that His hour was at hand, that He would be arrested and taken to the cross, He also knew the storms that that would create in the lives of His followers. You see, it wasn't just this, I believe it wasn't just the storm of the cross that He was concerned about. I would even suggest that that might not have even been His primary concern. I believe His greater concern was the storms that His disciples would face. The storm of sorrow, the storm of suffering, the storm of oppression, the storms we've talked about. As He's in the garden in Luke chapter 22, verse 40, He says, "On reaching the place, He said to them, 'Pray that you will not fall into temptation.'" Then down in verse 45, He finds them sleeping. He goes back, and they're sleeping. They're exhausted from sorrow. Again, one of those storms we talked about. And He says, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Another of those storms we talked about. As we plan for the storms that Jesus says will come, we pray. We pray so that we're in communication, we're in relationship with God. When we develop a prayer life that learns to pray continually, we develop a prayer life that looks very little like our Sunday school prayers. Our Sunday school prayers were a good place to start. I'm not dismissing them in any way, shape, or form. But we grow. You know, if we're living a Christian life for 20 years, And the substance of our prayers are still, "God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food," we're probably not going to be real prepared for the storms. But it's that continual growth, it's that continual relationship. Just as any human relationship, our conversations grow and deepen, or at least they ought to. The things we talk about ought to be different 20 years into a relationship than they were on day one. There ought to be a greater trust. There ought to be a greater understanding. There ought to be a greater relationship. And that's what prayer does, is it prepares us for the storms of life. It reminds us continually that God is not distant. He's not far away. He is with us. I believe one of the greatest things that we can have in the midst of any storm is knowing that we're not alone. And God's designed us as a body, as a family, as brothers and sisters in Christ, so that we ought to be there for one another. But I believe it begins by knowing that God is with us, that He has not abandoned us. You read through the book of Job, that was some of his greatest struggle. That was the greatest struggle of his friends. God has left you. God's abandoned you. And he continued to cling. The God I know wouldn't do that. And he was filled with questions. And I love the book of Job because it shows God's patience with us in the midst of the storms. He understands we don't understand. And he's okay with that. But we plan for the storms by beginning to increase our prayer life. And when we consider the things that the storms can look like, I think it helps us to pray. We also plan for the storms when we learn what God has said. 2 Timothy 2:15, a probably familiar verse, says to study to show yourself approved. A workman rightly dividing the word of truth. When Jesus faced the storms of temptation, we read throughout Scripture his common practice was to find lonely places to spend time in prayer. Prayer was a key element of him surviving the storms of life. But after spending 40 days fasting in the wilderness with his father, spending time with God, preparing himself for what was to come in his ministry here on earth, he faced the storms of temptation from Satan himself. And he was prepared for those storms by being a student of his father's word. All of the temptations he answered with, "It is said. It is written." He knew, even when Satan would try to twist Scripture and say, "Well, God has said such and such," and Jesus would, "Well, that's not really what it says." You know, it's that deception that Satan is really good at. It's that question that he first raised to Eve. Did God really say? And so we prepare for the storm by learning what God really did say. By being a student of his word. By digging deep into what he has written, what he has conveyed to us. One of the reasons that I really encourage people to spend time daily reading God's word. And I like it when you can read through the Bible in a year or whatever length of time, but to systematically expose yourself to every word that's there. And sometimes you think, "Well, I'll never remember this." I've found in the midst of the storm, many people remember things they never thought they would remember. God's word is there. I don't claim to understand our mind. I think most brain surgeons and those that work with the neurological system of how our brain works would even tell you they don't understand fully how it works. But it stores stuff. And just as our computers, but in a more complicated way, our mind stores stuff. And there are things on my computer that I forget where they're at and how to get to them. And I know I've got that file. I saved it years ago. I wanted to keep it, and it's there somewhere. And with my computer, I can do a search and usually come up with it. But when we put God's word into our mind, his spirit becomes that search engine in our life that's able to remind us of what we know, remind us of what God has said, remind us of his promises. And so we plan for the storm by being people of prayer. We plan by the storm by plan for the storm by being people of God's word, by learning what he said. We also plan for the storm by learning to adapt. Adapt or adopt, I kind of use both of these terms in this section. God says that we ought to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We ought to be changed. We ought to be different. And part of this adaptation process is adopting the things that we've learned from God's word. It's the putting them into practice. It's what we read earlier out of Matthew, of the wise and foolish builders. He says the wise man is the one who not only hears these words of mine, but puts them into practice. That does the things that you're called to do. You see, when we plan for the storm, we're looking ahead and we're saying, I want to be ready. I don't want this storm to catch me by surprise. This past fall, I had opportunity to volunteer on several different trips with the IDES, International Disaster Emergency Service, and to do disaster relief cleanup. And it's fascinating in talking, and I particularly did two trips into Lake Charles, Louisiana, after each of the hurricanes that hit there. But in talking with these individuals, the first trip after, I believe it was Hurricane Laura, if I remember correctly, there were a lot of people that just wrote it out. They got the warnings, they knew it was coming, but it was like, well, it's just a hurricane, you know, no big deal. Those usually don't hit us anyhow. It's been 15 years or whatever, I forget, something like 15 years since they'd really been hit hard. And in those 15 years, a lot of hurricane warnings had come and gone. And so they stuck with it. They stayed home. And they realized how unprepared they were. Went down after Hurricane Delta about a month later. And very few of them had stayed. When the warnings came and the evacuation orders came, they all left town. They did what they could to protect what they could, but they said, we're not doing it again. We believe them this time. We've experienced it. And so many times we are unprepared for the storms because we don't believe it could happen to us. That's just stuff that other people deal with. And when we change our mind, when our mind is transformed to realize that we're connected, that when the storms of sorrow come upon a member of our body, the body of Christ, it comes upon us, then we have a greater urgency of preparing, because we recognize that when one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. And no longer do we think, well, I've protected myself. I don't have to worry about the storms of temptation because I've put the armor of God on. I'm protected. I can deal with that. And we turn a blind eye while our brother or sister stumbles and falls, because we've not helped prepare them. You see, preparing for the storm says, I belong to a family, and we're all important. We all need to get through this. We all need to survive. We all need to grow. And as we learn to adopt, and we learn to adapt, We take on the principles that we've learned through our time of prayer. We take on the principles we've learned through our time in God's Word. And we live by God's Word. When it says that His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, we believe it. And we walk that way. We've had numerous occasions over the last 6 months at least of electricity going out. And watching the news, I think that's pretty widespread. Probably most people have experienced that at some point fairly recently. And some it's been for a few hours, some it's been for days. But even as well as I know my home, I don't try to go from the basement to the upstairs bedroom where we sleep without a light. I want a light to my path. I want a lamp that's on. I want to know that I'm not going to stumble and fall over something that I've forgotten about. And being prepared for the storm says that we use the lamp of God's Word. We use the light of our relationship with Him to transform us so that we can see where we're going no matter how dark it is around us. As we consider the storms that rage around us in our nation, in our world, I believe the darkness of the times gives greater opportunity for the light to be seen. But we have to change more and more into the likeness of Christ every day for that light to be visible. You see, we prepare for the storms when we plan for the storms. We pray. We learn God's Word. We adapt. We're transformed into His image. But we also plan for the storms by noticing the signs that they're coming. In Matthew chapter 16, it's funny, I grew up on a farm and heard variations of this phrase, and it wasn't until years after I was familiar with it that I even realized it came from the Bible. Matthew 16, verses 2 and 3, Jesus replies in regard to the Pharisees and Sadducees wanting a sign from heaven to prove that Jesus was who He said He was. He said, "When evening comes, you say, 'It will be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, you say, 'Today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast.' You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given except the sign of Jonah." It's fascinating in that passage. He talks about a lack of a miraculous sign, but he doesn't dismiss the idea of normal signs. Throughout Scripture, Jesus talks about watching and waiting and being ready, being prepared. He makes it very clear that there are things to be looking at, to be noticing, to pay attention to. You see, we plan for the storms when we notice that they're coming. At least we ought to. Those that are in hurricane regions, particularly after this last year when they were so plentiful, have learned to pay attention to the signs, to notice when the storm is building, to look for how near it's approaching, and then to do something about it. You see, the key to noticing the signs is a willingness to respond, a willingness to do something, a willingness to be ready. The story that I told at the beginning of this session of the hired hand that had taken care of all of the work prior to the storm. It was his practice to be ready. It was his practice to do what was needed in preparation. And so many times it seems like in our Christian walk, we wait until the rain starts to fall. We wait until the lightning flashes in the sky. We wait till the wind gusts become more than we can bear. And then we cry out to God and say, God, what are we to do? And it's in those times that we learn the value of planning for the storm. When that unexpected diagnosis hits you or a family member, a storm that where I don't know that any of us are ever fully prepared for, but we can plan for, because, well, our family's bigger than what we may think it is. Those unexpected diagnoses hit more often than we imagine. When we begin to plan for the storm, we realize that we're in this storm and we're not alone. That God has sent each other to help us through it, to carry us when we can't walk, to lift us up when we've fallen. So many times we miss out on the urgency of the preparation, the urgency of the planning. We wait until it becomes even more urgent than we imagined. And it's not that that's too late. There's still work God can do. There's still work God does. And so at whatever point in time that we choose to address the storm, when we turn to God, it's always the right time. When we look to Him, it's always the right time. And today, as you consider the storms that you are already encountering, as you consider the storms that you may see brewing on the horizon, perhaps you're already noticing storms that are coming. And sometimes the fun part of that is it looks like it's going to storm and it never appears. There have been times where we've been out and wanting to go photograph nature. And we'll look outside and it just, the sky is black. It's just like, well, there's no use in going out tonight. There'll be no sunset. There'll be nothing really to capture our attention and to photograph. And an hour later, you look out and this gorgeous sunset out there, and we missed it. Because the storm that looked like it was coming just dissipated. And sometimes that's true with these spiritual storms, with these storms of life that we're talking about. Just because we see the signs doesn't mean that they will come, but it means we need to be prepared. I think we can look at our nation and see signs of a great storm, but God has the power to cause that storm to dissipate. God is honest when He calls His people to repent, to humble themselves, to turn to Him, so that He would bring healing, He would bring restoration. But knowing that God can do that doesn't negate our need to plan, because we also know mankind. And our tendency to repent and turn to God is, well, we don't have a good track record in that. So today, as we wrap up this first session and prepare to spend some time in prayer, I'd ask that you spend time praying about your planning process. And I believe there's probably something out of one of these four areas, if not out of all of them, that God says, it's time to step up a notch. It's time to grow. We'll talk more about grow later, but and maybe it's prayer life. You may have grown beyond the God is great, God is good prayers, but maybe not much. And God's calling you to increase the depth of your conversation with Him. Maybe you're the one that prayer is kind of like that phone call. You pick up, you call God, and then you hang up. And He's saying it's time to include listening in your prayer time. And don't hang up until I have a chance to speak to you through my Spirit, through my Word. Perhaps it's in the area of planning, of spending more time in God's Word, allowing His Word to dwell richly within you. Perhaps it's being transformed. It's adapting into His image, adopting His ways, allowing Him to be the light that guides your path. I've never experienced it happening. Every time that I fly, the flight attendant comes on, and if you fly very much, you get to the point where you don't even pay attention to them because it's the same spiel flight after flight. But at one point, they'll say, in the event of emergency, exit lighting will appear on the aisle to direct you to the nearest exit. And in my mind, at least, they're talking about an occasion where the lights in the plane would go out, it would be dark, and you would have to evacuate, and this light would magically appear that would guide you to safety. And when I think about adapting and adopting the ways of God, I think about following that. His Word, His conversations with us, His Spirit within us guides us to safety. Perhaps He's saying to pay attention. Notice what's going on around you. Notice the urgency of planning, of preparing, of repenting, of turning more fully to God, of seeking His face. As you take some time to pray, I would encourage you to listen to what God's Spirit would have you to do, to be more prepared in your planning. I'm going to pray, and then I'll give you another 5 or 10 minute time here to go out and spend some time with God praying about how you will plan. Father, thank You that You are a God that has called us to Yourself. You've given us Your Word. You've given us Your Spirit. You've given us all that is needed to live a good and godly life. Father, as we consider the storms that will come, the storms that are coming, the storms that have come, help us to plan, to be prepared, to spend time in prayer, to spend time learning Your Word, to spend time adapting ourselves into Your image, to spend time noticing what's going on. And Father, as we do that, may we represent Jesus well to a world that needs hope in the midst of their storms. It's in His name that I pray. Amen. So take some time, as Nate has said.